This is 89.9 WWNO. Yes, we're headed for another art-filled weekend. Are you making plans? Or do you need some ideas? Well, you've come to the right place. Whether you're in the mood to make a joyful noise Central City style, a night of musical fanfare with the LPO brass, or an Odyssey ball with an artful twist, we've got answers. It's all in the mixed media. Come along as we go inside the arts. Hi, I'm your host, Diane Mack. The 1700 block of Aretha Castle Haley Boulevard will be rockin' come Saturday. That's when the 6th annual Central City Festival, Make a Joyful Noise, gets underway, celebrating the rebirth of the boulevard and the diversity of Central City in conjunction with the Louisiana Bicentennial. Festival spokesman Luther Gray.
We're expecting probably 1,000 people this year. The first 5 years, this festival was called Make a Joyful Noise. It was a gospel festival. This year, we've decided as an organization and as a community to rebrand it as a Central City Fest and open it up not just exclusively to gospel music, but to the music of the whole city.
The area is home to the Ashe Cultural Arts Center and Cafe Reconcile. The Aretha Castle Haley Merchants and Business Association, along with the arts community, are coming together to foster continued growth and healing in a neighborhood with a reputation for mean streets.
And Central City is like just off the downtown development district, and it's really important that this neighborhood shares in the economic boom that's really occurring in New Orleans. So I think it's important for people to recognize the beauty of Central City and not just hear about the crime statistics. Aretha Castle Haley Boulevard is really in a major renaissance. When the Ashe Cultural Arts Center came to 1712 Aretha Castle Haley Boulevard, I think it was 12 years ago, you know, the corridor was pretty derelict and had really gone into a long, slow decline since the 60s, when that was a major shopping district in the early 50s and 60s for African Americans who could go there and try on clothes, which you couldn't do on Canal Street. So once things became integrated, people started moving towards Canal Street and the other malls and things. So that area kind of went into a slow decline. But the Ashe Cultural Arts Center and Cafe Reconcile have pretty much rooted this resurgence along Aretha Castle Haley Boulevard. And now we've got the Southern Food and Wine Museum coming in. You've got Good Work Network doing major work with community people with entrepreneur training. And we got a lot of other major announcements that I think are coming pretty soon around other developments. And of course, we have some really beautiful housing, the Muses, and I think Nora has just, its new 70 units are going to be coming up. I think that's on the 1400 block of Aretha Castle Haley Boulevard as well.
There will be a musical tribute to the gospel prince of Central City.
I heard about Daniel in the lion's den. I read about Joe and all his afflictions and how they all kept the faith until the end.
We're honoring Joe Cool Davis. He lives on Aretha Castle Haley Boulevard. And of course, you know, after the hurricane, because of complications of diabetes, he had lost one of his legs. And this year, unfortunately, he lost his other leg. So he's still singing and everything. So we're doing a tribute to Joe Cool Davis. And we asked him, we said, Joe, you know, who would you like to perform with you? He said he wanted the Zion Harmonizers, Reverend Lois Dejean, the Heavenly Melodies, and the Jones Sisters. So they're all going to be doing a gospel tribute to Joe Cool Davis.
You'll also hear Kermit Ruffins and Irvin Mayfield. And for the younger set, New Orleans bounce artist Lucky Lou.
Yeah.
Lucky Lou has this song, it's an anthem called Stomp the Violence. It's a dance that he's created. And the youth of our city are invited to come out and register and participate in this bounce competition. And the first, second, and third place winners will win a cash prize and also perform it in December at Ashe's Holiday in the Boulevard Festival.
There will be food, art, and tours of homes in Central City. In the end, festival spokesman Luther Gray is hoping the experience will rejuvenate spirits and bring the community together. The 6th annual Central City Festival, Make a Joyful Noise, kicks off Saturday in the 1700 block of Aretha Castle Haley Boulevard in the parking lot of the Ashe Cultural Arts Center from 11 a.m. until 6 p.m.
Walking by faith. Stunt the violence, stunt the violence.
New Orleans is well known for its brass bands, but this Thursday and Friday nights, a different kind of brass ensemble, a big one, will perform at First Baptist Church in Kenner and Covington. WWNO's Farrah Hudkins has more.
The brass players in a symphony orchestra sit in the back, but this Thursday and Friday, the brass of the Louisiana Philharmonic are center stage for a concert called Symphonic Brass. As LPO principal trumpet Vance Wolf explains, it's a unique sound.
We're augmenting the brass section with some of the top freelancers in the area. I believe there's six trumpets altogether. In the LPO, we have three full-time trumpet players, and we're getting some of the locals to join us, in addition to Chris Martin. Four trombones, as opposed to three, which would be in the usual brass section, two tuba players, and maybe as many as six horns. So we're augmenting it quite a bit from the standard brass configuration for a symphony. Basically, you know, it's the whole brass section of the orchestra. We're stepping outside of our role, our main role in the orchestra, of just sort of supporting the rest of the orchestra, and we're just taking center stage. So we're playing the whole time. The whole concert is just going to be the brass section playing a broad range of repertoire. We're doing some Gabrielli, there's some Holst, and an arrangement of Defia dances. Throughout the whole concert, a lot of people are going to be playing some pretty prominent parts. The melodies are going to be thrown all around the brass section. In the trumpet section, I know that each of us are going to get a moment to shine. There's lots of piccolo trumpet solos, and there's some flugelhorn solos. There's little solos that creep up in all the parts throughout all of the music.
Piccolo trumpet and flugelhorn are not very common in a normal symphony orchestra.
No, they're not common at all. Things like piccolo trumpet and flugelhorn have been added into the mix to give a nice variety of timbres for all the different pieces that we're playing. They're not normal instruments for a symphonic brass, but since we're out there by ourselves, we want to use lots of different sounds. I'm playing a solo piece with Chris Martin. It's an arrangement of an arrangement. We'll both be playing piccolo trumpets on it. I'm taking a secondary role. Chris has got the main solo part, and I'm playing the orchestra sort of violin part. It's two piccolo trumpets plus the rest of the brass ensemble. Altogether, there are four trumpets on it, four horns, three trombones and a tuba. The rest of the program is the whole large brass ensemble from the orchestra. So I'll be playing the lead parts and all the other brass ensemble pieces. And we're really lucky because Chris is actually going to join in for the brass ensemble stuff as well. He's going to rotate around the trumpet section and help us out.
The concert will feature music from the 17th through 20th centuries and includes some special guests from the world-renowned Chicago Symphony Brass.
Jay Friedman is a living legend in the brass world. He's principal trombone of the Chicago Symphony, and he's been principal trombone there for close to 50 years now, I would say. And Jay does a lot of conducting. And so he's going to be conducting this concert, and we're really looking forward to getting to work with somebody like this, have him standing in front of us, guiding us through all this exciting brass music. Chris Martin, he's been principal trumpet of Chicago Symphony for the past 7 years, I believe. You know, already at his young age, he's done a lot of great things. He's very, very well known in the brass world before he won the Chicago Symphony job. We're really looking forward to having him down here. In the trumpet world, Chris Martin is the man.
Vance Wolf, principal trumpet of the Louisiana Philharmonic, talking about Symphonic Brass. The concerts are Thursday and Friday in Kenner and Covington, and you can get more information at lpomusic.com. For 89.9 WWNO, I'm Farrah Hudgens.
Farrah Hudgens hosts classical music weekdays from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on WWNO HD2. You're listening to Inside the Arts on 89.9 WWNO. I'm your host, Diane Mack, on this Election Day, reminding you to do your civic duty. Go vote. Polls close tonight at 8. And South Louisiana Red Cross volunteers are in New Jersey, distributing food and helping those in need. To support the American Red Cross relief efforts for Storm Sandy in the New York, New Jersey area, WWNO listeners can call 800-733-2767. That's 800-RED-CROSS, or go to redcross.org. We're going off the wall as NOMA, the New Orleans Museum of Art, throws a big bash. Its 47th annual Odyssey Ball gets underway Saturday, an evening of music, dance, food, and great art. Get ready to have your mind blown as guests will get a first peek at Lifelike, a new exhibit organized by the Walker Art Center in Minneapolis. The exhibit is a playful exploration of the ordinary things in your life that will have you doing a double take, questioning whether what you are looking at is real or an illusion. NOMA's Deputy Director for Curatorial Affairs, Lisa Rotundo McCord.
It's a contemporary take on an old art historical concept, which is trompe l'oeil, or to fool the eye. So many paintings from the 15th, 16th centuries, 17th centuries, the artist tried to replicate reality in such a way that it looked as though it were real. It was a window to an actual still life where you could just put your hand in and take out an apple or a peach or a pear. So Lifelike is an exhibition that features 50 artists and starts with a historical survey of this idea in the modern moment, so from the 1960s to 1970s. So it features artists like Andy Warhol in the early galleries. But then it moves quite quickly to contemporary artists who are exploring similar ideas. And it goes through a variety of ways in which artists do this.
One example would be pop artist Andy Warhol's Brillo boxes.
Andy Warhol took a common everyday object and then he blew it up in scale and made it an art object. He actually painted the Brillo sign. But then we have artists who further that play with scale. So you have a lunch bag, for example, the kind that I used to use when I went to school and took my lunch, the sack lunch, except it's 8 feet high, but it looks just like a paper lunch bag. The best example of the scale is Robert Therrien's folding table and chairs. It's actually called No Title, but it's everyone will remember it as the card table and folding chairs. And he takes a very common object found in most people's homes that you use for extra seating for Thanksgiving dinner or family get-togethers or crawfish boils, that kind of thing, and he blows it up. So this folding table is 10 feet high, and the folding chairs are 12 feet high. And the first reaction from most visitors, you walk into the gallery, it's shown in the last gallery of the exhibition, is you stop and you laugh. Because it's like you've drunk the potion in Alice in Wonderland and you've shrunk in an instant, and then you're just like a little kid again. You look up and you can't believe that it's so large, and you can't sit in the chair, and you know, it just unleashes this whole torrent of thoughts about what is he doing? How do I get there? Do I walk around it? It's just amazing. And then right near there is another artist's work, which is a fully functional elevator. It's an elevator cab with the doors and the lights and a little button that you push, just like the elevator for any multi-story building, except it's 8 inches high. So it's the other end of the spectrum. So they're right next to each other. So it's a fun and just a fun moment. They're working with serious themes, but they make you laugh. They make you laugh and look again and say, what is that? And is it real? That's really the question you walk around with.
Brooke Minto can attest to the playful nature of Lifelike. She is NOMA's new Deputy Director of Development, a New Yorker recently living in Miami, who came on board a week and a half ago, just in time for NOMA's biggest bash of the year.
Yeah, I mean, it's extraordinary. I got to go into the show just this week with our curator of contemporary art. As I said, I just recently relocated to New Orleans. I'm getting to know the museum and the team, and I've just been so caught up that I've been hearing about the show, but I hadn't gone in to see it. And she pulled me aside. She said, take 5 minutes. Let's just go look. And it was so great because, you know, I've looked at the catalog and images and PowerPoints, but when you walk into it, you really are transported. You know, I walked underneath the table and chairs, and it's just so giant, so oversized. You feel like a kid again. You feel like you're in lower school or middle school. You're on the playground. There's this huge, you know, playground 10 feet taller than you are. And it just transports you. It takes you back to a period in your childhood that really is wonderful. And you kind of lose yourself and you enjoy. And you look around at all of these wonderful objects and you think about these great memories of childhood, of your school days, of friendships, you know, past and people in your past. And it really is an evocative experience.
Paintings, sculpture, photography, drawings, video, and installations are featured in this transformation of commonplace objects. Lisa Rotundo McCord.
One of the installations is, it's really the core of the exhibition, and it's by an artist named Keith Edmeyer, and it's a kitchen. And again, if you look at a photograph of it, it just looks like almost like a interior scene, a still life with an interior. But what he has done is recreated his childhood kitchen, the kitchen that he grew up in. And instead of using canvas and paint and doing a sort of trompe l'oeil effect, he's actually recreated the whole environment. So there's a real stove, a real refrigerator, cabinets, formica, countertops, the sink, the table, the light fixtures, and then this fabulous 70s foil wallpaper. So some of the things are vintage. Some of the things he's made to recreate what he couldn't find. And the wallpaper he thought he could find because it had been in production for a long time, but he found actually nobody had it. So he actually had to make the design and then have a company refashion this foil wallpaper. It's very hip, very cool, you know, silver with orange and green. It's fabulous. But when you walk in, it's like you're walking into a still life. You're just totally transported to another time and place. It's a remarkable effect.
Rotundo McCord and Minto both say it's an experience New Orleanians will connect with. The 47th annual Odyssey Ball kicks off Saturday at the New Orleans Museum of Art. More info at noma.org. Lifelike opens to the general public on Sunday. And we have something extra in our Lanyap Corner. Turkey table decor is the theme of this month's second Saturday Children's Workshop at Rhino Contemporary Craft Gallery at the Shops at Canal Place. Rhino artists will guide children in making Thanksgiving turkey napkin holders in mixed media. Saturday from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. Reservations are suggested as space is limited. More info at rhinocrafts.com. Thank you. When the temperature dips, our taste buds turn to gumbo. And this weekend, the 5th annual Treme Creole Gumbo Fest gets underway in Armstrong Park. All day Saturday and Sunday, from 11 a.m. until 7:15 p.m. The festival, presented by the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Foundation, will have nonstop music by some of the city's best brass bands, an arts market, and a host of food vendors putting their special touch on gumbo. Yoga classes begin tomorrow at the French Market. Yoga and meditation are accompanied by live jazz piano music indoors at the New Orleans Jazz National Historical Park in Dutch Alley. The classes run from 9:30 to 10:30 a.m. and are free and open to the public. All levels are welcome. And the Audubon Zoo will hold its first family movie night. You are encouraged to spread out your blanket as the field in front of the Capital One stage at the zoo will be transformed into a movie theater for a screening of Madagascar 3, Europe's Most Wanted, rated PG. Doors open at 5:30 p.m. Show starts at 6 p.m. Friday. The movie will not be shown in 3D. Blankets and lawn chairs are welcome. That's our show for this week. Inside the Arts is a production of WWNO. Our show is archived at WWNO.org. I'll be back with more ideas for your artistic palette next week at 1 p.m. when we'll go Inside the Arts. I'm Diane Mack.